Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, Verse 54, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb. Daitya yaksha rakshansi.
Daitya yaksha rakshansi.
Striya shudra vakau vajau kasa.
Striya shudra vajau kasa.
Kaga migha papa jiva.
Kaga migha papa jiva.
Santiya chuttatam kataha.
Santiya chuttam kataha.
Chant.
Daitya yaksha rakshansi.
Daitya Shansi
Shriya
Shudra Vajau
Kashaha
Kakarmika Papa Jeeva
Shanti
Achyutam Gataha
Shanti
Achyutam Gataha
Daitya Shudra Vajau Kashaha
Agamika Papa Jiva
Santi Achutam Gata
Santi Achutam Gata
Daitya Yaksha Rakshasmi Daitya Yaksha Rakshasmi Striya Shudra Vajau Kasha Striya Shudra Vajau Kasha Agamika Papa Jiva Agamika Papa Jiva
Daiteya.
Daiteya.
O demons.
O demons.
Yaksharakshamsi.
Yaksharakshamsi.
The living entities.
The living entities.
Known as the Yakshas and Rakshasas.
Known as the Yakshas and Rakshasas.
Striya.
Striya.
Women.
Women.
Shudraha.
Shudraha.
The laborer class.
The laborer class.
Vajokasha.
Vajokasha.
Village cowherd men.
Kaga,
kaga, birds,
birds,
mrigaha,
mrigaha,
animals,
animals,
papajivaha,
papajivaha,
sinful living entities,
sinful living entities,
santi,
shanti,
can become,
he,
certainly,
certainly,
achyutatam,
achyutatam,
the qualities of achyuta,
the qualities of achyuta,
the supreme lord,
the supreme lord,
gataha,
gataha,
obtain,
obtain,
translation. O my friends, O sons of demons, everyone, including you, the yakshas and rakshasas, the unintelligent women, shudras and cowherd men, the birds, the lower animals, and the sinful living entities, can revive his original eternal spiritual life and exist forever simply by accepting the principles of bhakti yoga. Poor. The devotees are referred to as Achyuta Gotra, or the dynasty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is called Achyuta, is indicated in Bhagavad Gita, Senior Upayor Madhye Tam Cha Stapayame Chuta. The Lord is infallible in the material world because he is the Supreme Spiritual Person. Similarly, the Jivas, who are part and parcel of the Lord, can also become infallible. Although Prahlad's mother was in the conditional state, and was the wife of a demon. Even yakshas, rakshasas, women, shudras, and even birds and other lower living entities can be elevated to the Achyuta Gocha, the family of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the highest perfection. As Krishna never falls, when we revive our spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness, we never fall again to material existence. One should understand the position of the Supreme Achyuta Krishna, says in Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatata jakta deham punar janma naiti mam eti sojana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, Arjuna. One should understand Achyuta, the Supreme Infallible, and how we are related with him. And one should take to the service of the Lord. This is the perfection of life. Srimadvacharya says, Achyutatam Chuti Varjanam. The word Achyutatam refers to one who never falls to this material world. but always remains in the Vaikuntha world, fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Mukam karoti vachalam bangam langete girim yaki pantamam bande sigurum tinitaminam. Om agyana timirandasya gyananja shakaya chakshumiritam yena tasamay shigurumi. So this is a mercy verse, one of many mercy verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. We have the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, the mood of the Mahabhagavat, the mood of Krishna in the form of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, mood of Srila Prabhupada, accepting everyone in, as qualified to perform devotional service. So let's see if we fit into one of these categories. We have yakshas and rakshasas here. Anybody, if you check your astrological chart, actually, I'm coming from the Rakshasa gun. So there's hope. For if I can do it, anybody can do it, because I'm coming from the Rakshasa gun. The unintelligent women, there I'm in two categories here. Shudras, we have a few. Cowherd men, birds, lower animals, and if you're not in any of those sinful living entities, there's another category here. Yeah, we have, in case you're not in one of these categories. There's hope for all of us. We can all revive our eternal, original spiritual life and exist forever. But there is a catch. We have to accept the principles of bhakti yoga. Okay. So that is explained. There's one sentence in the purport that elaborates on this. What does it mean to accept the principles of bhakti yoga? It's after the quote from Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says, one should understand Achyuta, the supreme infallible, and how we are related with him. So that's sambandha gyan. And one should take to the service of the Lord. So if we understand Achyuta and we know our relationship as servant, then automatically we should take, and that is the duty. I was actually in New Govardhan, I just spoke on this on a verse in the same chapter, which was very interesting. Let me see if I can remember. Oh, verse 27, I think it was. Oh no, 28. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the demons, it starts the same as this one. My dear friends, all my friends, sons of demons, your duty is to take to Krishna consciousness, which can burn the seed, the fruit of activities. Okay, so this is our duty as human beings. We have to take the devotional service. This is Prahlad Maharaj is telling us, and Srila Prabhupada is telling us, and I'm sure your Guru Maharaj is telling you, and Krishna is telling us in Bhagavad Gita. And you have no excuse. You can't say, well, you know, I'm a demon, I'm a yaksha, I'm a raksha, I'm a woman, I'm a shudra. It's hard for me. I mean, if the birds can do it, so can you. Now we have Garuda, we have Jatayu, we have lower animals like Hanuman, and the hunters, sinful living entities, they could do it. And so if they can do it, so can we. Why are we able to do it even though we're so unqualified? Actually, in Kali Yuga, nobody is qualified. So therefore, this is a wonderful verse. And the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, he's preaching to the demons. He's preaching to the sons of demons. All of his friends were demons. He was in the school of demons. There was one of our devotee children, 4 years old. She went to the school of the demons in Slovakia. Her name is Kadambini. And she started preaching during lunch hour. She said to the little children, "You're all going to die." And they all started crying, and she pointed to the teacher, and "You're going to die too." So they called in her parents and said, "You know, we know you are Hare Krishna, but you know, it's a little bit heavy. She should not do this in the school." And they tried to explain to the child, you know, they don't understand what we're doing here. You have to preach gently, give them prasadam. So I know a lot of mothers who send their kids to the non-devotee schools, they send a lot of prasadam because otherwise they get attracted to what the other children have. That's I met one Indian lady. She was in Brisbane. And her two daughters went through all of the outside schools. And she said she had to learn how to make pizza and pasta and Mexican food and all these things for her children and offer it to her deities so that they wouldn't desire the other food. And then, and I, who was it that told me? I think somebody in India, they made a tiffin for their, and they have to make so much extra because all the other children want what he eats because she makes it better. She makes the prasad much better than what the other kids get. You know, they get a sandwich or something, but her kid gets lasagna. And so many things. So, yeah, we have to somehow or other attract the demons. Prasadam is the most important secret weapon. Of course, chanting the holy name also. Even unknowingly, they will be benefited by hearing the chanting. So this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He doesn't consider who is qualified, who is not qualified. He doesn't see the body. He sees everyone as spirit soul. And Prabhupada had that vision of Nitai. He had that vision of Lord Chaitanya. He didn't see where we were coming from. It's a good thing he couldn't, you know. It was pretty bad, sinful living entity. So he just saw, oh, there's a spark, let me fan it. If you watch some of the old videos, Happiness on 22nd Avenue, that was, you see them lounging around with long hair and say, you know, talking about the gopis' love for Krishna, but they don't have a clue of, they didn't in those days. And I remember when I first joined, it was 1970, it was a bit more, I mean, they were more advanced, they were 4 years now, senior devotees, 3, 4, 2 years, 1 year was senior. And remember when I was coming, they were telling me about Pradyumna, the Panditji, he was telling me about the different levels of devotional service from shraddha to prema, you know, the shraddha. And I said, so I asked him, so what level are you on? And he said, I'm on ruchi, which is a very high level, you know. Beyond, oh, your anarthas are finished. And, you know, I can tell you he wasn't on ruchi, but we all got that taste. I mean, Prabhupada gave us the taste of ruchi, even though we were just coming from who knows where, from the streets, gave us that taste. We weren't on the level of ruchi. The level of ruchi means it's a very heavy, serious level. You know, everything, you see Krishna everywhere and everything attracts you. Even if the person can't sing the kirtan properly, you know, you'll, wow, that's the holy name. Wow, Krishna, I see Krishna there. And that's ruchi. Everything is beautiful. Everything, you know, you clean the temple and you see Krishna in every atom. So you're really in a high level there if you stay up there. But we had a little taste because we were out on Harinam 10 hours a day. And we got a lot, we did get ruchi, attachment for the holy name. I remember when we would come back to the temple and we were waiting for prasadam, what we would do is chant and dance and sing. What else to do, you know? We were so happy. We just wanted to chant the holy name. And we were very much studying the books because I joined in Boston. Satsyup Maharaj, he was the temple president, and the Sankirtan Harinam leader was Giriraj Maharaj, who was Brahmachari. It was all boys and girls together in the same van. We would go out 10 hours a day. And then there was Pradyumna, he was the Sanskrit scholar. There was Bhavananda, he was the interior decorator. Every room was a shocking purple, shocking orange, shocking, and the whole house was purple outside. We were in a middle-class neighborhood. It really stood out. So, and then we had temple commander was Sridhananda Maharaj. Who else was there? So many people. Anyway, it's a far out temple. Jayadwaita Maharaj was in charge of the press. ISKCON Press was there. And we were printing the books. Nectar Devotion was printed there. And Second Canto was printed there. But it was an amazing temple. And we were studying the books. We would have Bhagavatam class, Gita class, Nectar Devotion, so many classes. I don't know how we did it with all the Harinam we did, but we did it. And we didn't have Mangalarti, that's one thing. We got up at 6 o'clock. And we slept at midnight, or 1 o'clock after Harinam. But then after 2 months after I joined, then they started Mangalarti, so then we had to get to sleep. I mean, Mangalarti was there, but only the pujari would go, no devotees. And the pujari complained to Prabhupada, no one's coming to Mangalarti, so Prabhupada said, now everybody has to go to Mangalarti. So that's how it started. That was 1970. But anyway, yeah, if you remember the history of Australia, I think, was it these deities that Prabhupada said, now I'm giving you in the hands of the Malechas? I don't know if it was Sydney deities. And because I was just reading a little bit of the history, and you know, they had, none of them were initiated, or even what to speak of being Brahmins. And he just came here and he initiated everybody who was, you know, even if they just came for one day, you know, he would just get initiated, and then he took five of them and gave them Brahmin initiation so they could worship Radha Krishna. So it was like, that's how the old days were. I remember I was on Harinam, I was 2 months a devotee, and after 2 months, and we would chant, and then we would stop and give a little speech. And so then, after 2 months, that my Harinam leader, Giraj Maharaj, he said, now you should speak. I said, but, you know, what can I say? He said, come on, you've been 2 months here already. You should be able to give a lecture now. And it's like, okay. It was, you know, it was a fast forward. It was really high speed in those days, that you had to really go fast. You know, you couldn't wait. And after 1 year, you know, we were Grihastha, my husband and I both joined. They would kick you out and you'd have to start your own temple, you know, just like, you know, no money, just send you somewhere and good luck, you know. So that's what happened to a lot of Grihasthas, happened to us too. But it was an adventure. It was an adventure. And we felt that happiness of chanting Hare Krishna, and we saw how Prabhupada was so merciful and he was accepting us. But we also have to accept, here it says, we have to accept the principles of bhakti yoga. So they're accepting us as we are. Of course, not as we are, we're not this body. They're accepting us as soul. So we have to try to accept the principle of living on the level of soul, spiritual life, and that's bhakti yoga. If you practice bhakti yoga, Krishna says in Gita, if you practice bhakti yoga, you will get a desire to attain to me. Maybe we can't think of Krishna 24 hours. So okay, you follow these rules and regulations. That's chapter 12, verse 9. And you will get a desire to attain me. So this is the mercy of Krishna, even in Bhagavad Gita. Advaita Acharya, now we're in a sandwich now. Advaita's appearance was just, I think, on Monday, and Nityananda is on Sunday. So we're in between these two wonderful incarnations of Krishna. Nityananda's the most merciful, but then Advaita, he's in the same mood here as Prahlad Maharaj. Because one time, Lord Chaitanya was giving out benedictions to all the devotees. And Advaita said, no, I don't need anything. And he said, no, you take. So what did Advaita ask for? He said, I want that you give this prema even to the rakshasas, the women, the shudras, this list. He gave the whole list. Yes, you give prema to these, everyone. Everyone can get prema, Krishna prema. So that's the mercy of Advaita Prabhu. We have that. And if Prabhupada, of course, is even more merciful. I think we have some extra species here that aren't on the list, which Prabhupada gave prema to. I mean, if you hear the stories, there was one hippie in France. Now he's leaving his body in Vrindavan, named Rasala, I think. Rasada or Rasala. And he was... Jadunar Maharaj tells a story how Prabhupada was on a morning walk in some park, and out of the bushes jumped this hippie, and he was going for Prabhupada's feet. But he was saying, food, food, I'm hungry. And then they threw him back in the bushes. But then when they went back to the temple, they found this guy sitting in the middle of the temple room floor. And Prabhupada came in, he grabbed Prabhupada's feet. He knew where to go, actually. And Prabhupada was patting him on the head. He was saying, okay, it's all right. Don't worry. And after that, you know, then he wanted to join. He didn't want to leave the temple. And so, you know, they said, okay. He couldn't speak because he was so drugged up, you know. He had so many drugs, he couldn't even speak a proper sentence. I met people like that in Ireland who couldn't talk properly. You know, there's actually still people like that in this world who can't speak proper language. So anyway, they cleaned him up, and he's cleaning the temple, and then Indradyumna Maharaj is going out on traveling book distribution. So he jumped in the van, and Maharaj said, no, you can't go, you can't. He said, okay, he wouldn't get out. He said, okay, you can clean the van. So then they started going out with the books, and so he took a book bag and put books in it, and he says, I'm also going to distribute. I mean, couldn't speak like that, but he went out to distribute. And he came back, and all the books were gone. He sold everything. And they asked, well, what did you say to the people? Prabhupada's mercy, Prabhupada's mercy. That's what he said. That was his hobby. Prabhupada's mercy. That's what he knew. So he became a book distributor. He started speaking properly. He started giving classes. And he got initiated. This is the mercy of Prabhupada, that we have some, like when my son was growing up and his friends would come over, I said, this is an unidentified species. I don't know what this is. Because even though they're born in devotee families, but, teenage years. But anyway, yeah. And I think, I feel that George Harrison was the incarnation for the hippies. And he picked up these people. I met a lot of devotees. They said, I joined because I heard this Hare Krishna mantras sung by George Harrison. So this is the mercy. The mercy is coming in so many ways to us. And Prahlad Maharaj, he has his prayers later on in the ninth chapter of this canto. And he said a couple of prayers which are very much in relation to this. And one prayer was the first prayer was that, how is it possible for me, born in a family of demons, to offer suitable prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even till now, all the demigods headed by Brahma could not satisfy you by streams of excellent words. So the demigods tried. They couldn't make... He was still angry. He was so angry that they couldn't make him stop his anger. And Prahlad said, they're in the mode of goodness. I'm in passion and ignorance. I'm not qualified. But then in the next sentence, he says, why, even though I'm born in the demon family, why I'm qualified? And he gives some, he lists some things that the Lord is not attracted by. One may possess wealth, aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think, even by all these qualifications, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied by him. So it's wonderful that Krishna is not seeing our bodies, he's seeing the soul. If Gajendra can do it, then so can we. You know who Gajendra was? Everybody knows who is Gajendra? He was? Elephant. He was actually a great devotee, but he was cursed to become an elephant. So just imagine if one day you were cursed to be an elephant, you do some Vaishnava aparad to somebody, and immediately you're an elephant. You couldn't even come into the temple. That would be a real obstacle in your devotional service. But Gajendra, he managed. He was saying prayers to the Lord in his elephant body. He's in this category, lower animals, mrigaha, lower animals. Monkey, Hanuman, he's a great devotee. There's a verse from Padyavali by Rupa Goswami. Where are the hunter? Dharma's piety. So piety is a qualification. Dharma was a hunter, he was half-killing the animals. And Narada came, his guru came and said, don't half-kill them, kill them completely, first instruction by the guru. Just kill them. You know, he didn't say chant Hare Krishna. He wasn't ready for that. And he said, just kill them completely so they don't suffer so much. But sometimes your guru is gradual with you. Sometimes he's not like Tamal Krishna. He's heavy. He was heavy. Some gurus are a little bit, like Srila Prabhupada with Shyamasundara when he was carving the Jagannath deities. He was already initiated, I believe, by this time. But he was still smoking cigarettes. Because when he was carving the deities, Prabhupada came in to check, and he saw a pack of cigarettes on top of Subhadra's head, I believe. And he said, why should you let such a little thing like a cigarette get in between you and the Lord? And then he gave him a way to give up. He said, okay, you smoke one less every day until you come to the point where you don't smoke any. And he did that, and he gave up smoking. So even Prabhupada, he was like that. He gave these gradual instructions. And you will find Narada Muni in Bhagavatam. He had so many different disciples he was preaching to, but he would give different instructions to different disciples. Pachana Barhisha in Canto 4, he showed him, because he was doing all these animal sacrifices, he was really proud, big king. He said, just see the animals you killed. They're going to come and get you in your next life. I said, oh. He showed him the vision of his karma. And then he was preaching to Daksha's sons. Daksha's sons, he said, they went to do austerities to become nice grihasthas. And he said, he gave him an analogy, and they understood that they should give up material life and renounce and go to the forest. So these were the Haryashvas. And then there was 10,000 sons of Daksha. Then he's got another 1,000 sons. So what did he tell the next group? He didn't give him the analogy. He just said, follow your brothers. Follow your brothers, because in the family, you follow the elder brothers, especially in India. So that's what they did, different instruction. What did he do to Vyas? Vyasadeva wrote Mahabharata. He wrote all the Vedas. And he wrote Puranas. And what did he get from his guru? Chastisement. Oh, this is terrible. You made a mistake. You encourage people in the name of the Vedas. They're going to do all these sacrifices and stay in the material world. You didn't glorify Krishna enough. So he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. Amala Purana. Yeah, so, I mean, can you imagine? You write the Vedas and you get chastised, Vedanta Sutra. And your guru chastises you. Well, of course, Vyasadeva wasn't happy either. He wrote all these things and he wasn't satisfied. And his guru picked up on that and he said, yeah, you made a mistake here. You forgot Krishna, because if you read some of these translations of Mahabharata, they'll say, oh, Krishna is a blackish boy. But they don't say he's God. They can misinterpret. Of course, they misinterpret Bhagavatam too, but Shankaracharya, he did not comment on Srimad Bhagavatam. He did Vedanta Sutra. He didn't comment on Bhagavatam. So, different instructions for different people. For different people, Prabhupada would say different things. For George Harrison, devotees were saying, come on, shave up, move in the temple. Prabhupada said, no, you remain famous musician, and that way you preach. Peter Burwash, he's another example. He didn't shave up and move in, but Prabhupada gave him so many instructions, and he used those instructions to make devotees and to preach. So Prabhupada gave different instructions for different people. Some of them he wanted to, but some of them he said, no, stay in your position, because you will do much more preaching by being a famous musician and being a famous tennis player than being a brahmachari in the ashram. So, but some of us, we had, of course, in the early days, we all had to be in the ashram. Didn't matter, grihastha, vanapras, there were no vanapras, grihastha, sannyas, because we were so young. I mean, I was old when I joined, 22. That was considered on the border, you know. Most of them were teenagers. And my husband was 25. He was overage. So it was a real young movement then, in those days. You know, I have so many friends, they joined when they were 16, 17, 18. Two of my friends, Rukmini and Anand Manjari, they joined when they were 16. Just teenagers. But Prabhupada saved us, because we were already leaving home at that age and becoming hippies. And so Prabhupada came just in time to save us from a degraded life. So yes, Prabhupada said, whatever you have, whatever talent you have, you don't have to learn anything, you just use that. I saw some birds in Vrindavan in serving Krishna, actually. We have these altars in Krishna Balaram temple. So, and there's huge, big wooden doors, and on top of them, they're really high. You can't reach them. I mean, maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 meters high, very high doors. Very high doors. And and they throw flowers somehow from, you know, they get the pujaris get up on a ladder and throw flowers from the deities. So there were a lot of flowers up there and they couldn't really clean them off. And I saw one bird just jumping and jumping on there and all the flowers were coming, he was cleaning the temple. And all the flowers were coming off from there. The bird just kept jumping on the flowers. So even the birds can be engaged. And if you read, there's a very merciful purport. It's about 10 pages long in Bhagavatam 2936. If you read that purport, it's an expansion on this verse. It's an expansion on the word sarvatra, sarvada. That devotional service can be performed sarvatra, everywhere, and sarvada, at any time, in any place, at any stage of your life. And there's a verse that Prabhupada quotes there that says, even the insects can do devotional service. How? Don't ask me. But I think there is a story in Ramayana. I mean, some say it's a squirrel. Some say it's a spider. So I guess that's the example. When Hanuman and the monkeys were throwing stones to make the bridge to Lanka, there was a spider engaged throwing his little stones. And Lord Ram saw the spider equally with the monkeys, or the squirrel. It could be this. I mean, some say it's a squirrel or a chipmunk, or some say it was a spider. Maybe in different kalpas it was. One was a spider, one was a chipmunk. Who knows? But they were serving Krishna, they were serving Ram. So everybody can serve the Lord. As Prabhupada says in his first lecture on chanting Hare Krishna, even a child can take part in this process, and even a dog can take part in it. And I have seen dogs taking part in it in Russia, Ukraine. In the first, we had our first festival in 1998. Now, of course, they had to cancel. Last year, there were 11,000 people in that festival. The first year I went, there was only 600. And we were in one park. We rented a park in Ukraine. And in that park were many dogs. But one dog was very special. And he was following the Harinam party when we were chanting. He was coming to Mangal Arati at 4 in the morning. They wouldn't let him in, but he was offering, you know how dogs offer obeisances, you know, on all the shoes of the devotees, 400, 600 pair of shoes. And that dog was coming every morning and doing his obeisances on the shoes of the devotees and following the Harinam, and all the other dogs were doing what dogs do, you know, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. This one was with us, and he was following us. And so you can see, even a dog can take part in the chanting. Prabhupada said, and I saw it happen. So this is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Another one more verse by Prahlad in his prayers. If a Brahman has all 12 of the brahminical qualifications, but is not a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life, to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a Brahman, because a devotee can purify his whole family, whereas a so-called Brahman in a position of false prestige cannot purify even himself. So I lived in India for 41 years, and I used to live in Goa, and I used to drive a moped. And who was servicing my moped? It was a Brahman, who had a beautiful Brahmin thread, but he was covered with grease from head to foot. And people were calling him Panditji. So it was very hard for me to see the connection. But anyway, he was very good in servicing the mopeds. But this is the job of the Shudra. But people will consider he's a Brahmin. And, and the devotees like from the West were like lechas. But we're very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada didn't have that vision. He had a universal vision. He could accept everyone as devotees of Krishna, just like Prahlad Maharaj, like Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda. They all have this vision. They're the Lord. We're the children of Krishna, all of us, all over the world. So what does it mean to be a Brahman? Actually, in this verse, Prahlad was talking about vipra. So first, there is a verse that Kalo Shudra Sambhava. Everybody in Kali Yuga is born a Shudra. But Sanskara Vaved Dvija. But by sanskara, you can become dvija. Dvija means twice born, two births. Now, the birds are also called dvija because they're also twice born. You know how the birds are twice born? First they come out as an egg, first birth. Second birth, they come out of the egg. So, Prabhupada compares that to initiation, second birth. We're born into the in a shell of ignorance. We're born in an eggshell of ignorance. When we take initiation, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we break out of that shell. We become dvija, come twice born. So that's dvija. Then vipra comes next. Vedapata bhaved vipra. If you study the Vedas, you become vipra, learned brahmana. You get all the qualities of the brahmana. So that verse, Prahlad is saying that even if one is a vipra, he knows all the Vedas, he knows all the, he has all the qualities of a brahman. If he's not a devotee, he's lower than a dog eater who's a devotee. That's really interesting topic here. And he can deliver his whole family. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, well, before I mention him, I'll just mention one thing Prabhupada said in the lecture, which is very similar to this verse, that a proud brahmana cannot purify himself, but a dog eater can purify his whole family if he becomes a devotee of the Lord. So, wonderful, wonderful verse. There's another verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the meat eaters, the women, the children, they can all become guru if they have the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So, these verses are being, we are all proof of these verses, all of us sitting here. We're proof. Yeah, thank you. We're proof that all of us can take up devotional service. We can all become devotees. There is no bar. There is, nothing can stop you. Ahe tukiya pratihata, it is without cause, causeless. And without, if your service is also ahe tukiya pratihata, without gap and without cause. And then you'll be satisfied. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati has said that if a pure devotee, Uttamadhikari, appears in a family, his ancestors and descendants for 100 generations are liberated, elevated. If a Madhyama devotee, middle devotee, preacher, appears in a family, his ancestors and descendants for 14 generations are elevated. When a neophyte devotee appears in a family, so this can be applied to most of us, his ancestors and descendants for 3 generations are elevated. So this is from Nectarian Instructions of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. So this is the amazing, amazing thing that we have somehow fallen into this devotional service. We've got this opportunity to serve Krishna, to chant Hare Krishna after many, many births. So we should take this opportunity and we should share it with others. There is a tree of Lord Chaitanya in this universe. And the tree is Lord Chaitanya. His two trunks are Advaita and Nityananda. And there are many branches. And one of those branches is ISKCON. And Lord Chaitanya, when he got the fruits of the tree, he said, you know, I'm the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? So I order every man in this universe to accept this Krishna conscious movement and distribute it everywhere. So this is Lord Chaitanya's order. And he continued, he said, let people eat these fruits and become free from old age and death. Prabhupada says in the purport, Krishna conscious movement introduced by Lord Chaitanya is extremely important because one who takes to it becomes eternal, being free from birth, death, and old age. So that this verse says the same thing. All these women, shudras, birds, sons of demons, can revive his original eternal spiritual life and exist forever simply by accepting the principles of bhakti yoga. So we will stop here. If there are any questions, we have some time for questions and comments. Yes?
I have 2 questions.
Yes?
I think this verse, and you've got a few other verses also, that we definitely don't qualify to take up Krishna consciousness, but devotees must be Prabhupada's mercy.
Yes.
We have that appreciation, but it doesn't, that appreciation doesn't sustain for long. Like once in a while when we are in class we remember, but then we walk out before we get it.
How to keep it, how to keep our appreciation strong. I'll share with you what His Holiness Sachinandan Maharaj gave us, three things to do that will help you, you know, keep your faith all the time. Like sometimes we lose it, sometimes we lose our enthusiasm, and sometimes we are very enthusiastic. So how to keep it together? How can we always be like that? So number one, improve your sadhana. That's the first thing. Our sadhana means get up, go to Mangalarti, and chant 16 rounds. Improve the quality of your chanting. Try to chant like a child crying for its mother. And also improve your quality. We'll talk that when we give our seminar in Shukadeva Swami, we'll talk a little bit about that. How to be responsive, how to respond to Krishna. How to be responsible and responsive and respond. That's all the same word. Okay, so that's number one, improve your sadhana. Number two, pray for bhakti with taste. With taste. So we have a lot of bhakti without taste. We know what that means. We kind of chant mechanically, or we get up mechanically. We see the deities with half-closed eyes because we're sleeping. So pray for bhakti with taste, and that will help you if you get this taste. And at the first, how to get taste is to be grateful, and that's how to get appreciation. Every morning when you wake up, say, thank you, Krishna, for giving me another opportunity to serve you. Be very grateful for whatever happens to you, and even if nothing happens, you should think of something to thank Krishna for. So that will also help to increase your appreciation. Then the third thing Maharaj said is take a risk for Krishna. Take a risk. And those three things will keep you enthusiastic, because we were always taking risks. And that's part of becoming empowered, is when you take a risk for Krishna. We're always taking a lot of risks. And we'll hear more again, as I say, when I give the seminar on Friday and Saturday nights. I'll talk more about that, and about some of the experiences we had in the old days by taking the risk. Almost every day we were taking a risk in those days. Like my husband and I, we were kicked out because we were in India, and in those days they weren't giving us a visa, just tourist visa basically. We were on tourist visa for 10 years. Not one, but many, many tourist visas. We went to Bangkok 3 times. We went to Singapore, Malaysia. We were the first devotees in Nepal, the first devotees in Burma. We went to Nepal 3 times, Pakistan 2 times, Bangladesh 2 times. Where else? I think that was it. We didn't go to Lanka. Should have thought of that. But anyway, for a tourist visa. And, sometimes they send us with a one-way ticket, or with a, like Burma, phone number. We got a phone number of a person. And in Burma, we had to change our passports, because if they see your visa and your passport, they won't give you a visa. So we had to somehow put our passports in the washing machine and get a new passport and then get a visa all within 7 days. If you stay over 7 days, you get put in jail if you're American in Burma in those days, communist government. So, that was a risk. Right there, we could have landed up in jail if we hadn't finished in 7 days and got a ticket back and everything. So, yeah, that was the crazy things we used to do. Wouldn't do it now, for sure. I would do something else. I would use my intelligence, not do crazy things. You know, then Krishna has to do more work, you know, if you do stuff like that. You make Krishna work hard, you know, these crazy devotees. Go, they ruin their passport and they're going to be put in jail. Yeah, so Krishna has to protect you. Because, you know, we're completely surrendered. We just do what we're supposed to do, you know. And sometimes it wasn't a good idea. You know, we thought we were above the modes of nature, but we weren't. And above the law and everything, but You know, we learned we weren't above the law. Even still, some devotees think they're above the law. It was 10 years ago. When did I visit Moscow? 1998 it was. And my driver, he thought he was above the law. He was driving on the sidewalks, and the people had to move because there was a traffic jam, and he didn't want to be at the end. He wanted to be in front. And this was in Russia. And you know, I said, you know, I'm not in a hurry to get to the temple. You know, we can be peaceful and drive slowly. No. And then I found out later his name was Yamraj. Okay, that's why he's not afraid of the law. He thinks he's Yamraj. And that's why he was going to get those people on the sidewalk. Anyway, and so, yeah, we shouldn't think like that, that we have become beyond the laws. Yes, we have taken to devotional service, but we don't want to risk our lives. Especially driving, don't drive when you're asleep. Don't drive the van. Don't drive with your bead bag. Recently I was told that Indradumna Swami lost two devotees who were driving with their bead bags and chanting while they were driving. Got entangled in the steering wheel. And they died. I mean, of course, chanting is a good way to die, but not, you know, what about all the rest of the devotees? Maybe they weren't chanting, you know. Anyway, you shouldn't do that. So these are some things that we have to be careful of. Even though we have become devotees, we are somewhat beyond the modes, but not completely. We still have to follow the laws of the land and other things. So, any other? Oh yeah, so I gave you the three things. Any other questions? Yeah, we had two.
I've got one other question, but on this point, pray for bhakti with taste.
Yes.
Does that mean our prayer should be with taste, or are we praying for bhakti with taste?
When I understood Maharaj meant by that was that you pray to have taste when you do things. When you're cleaning the temple, when you're seeing the deities, when you're doing different services, when you're distributing books, then pray for taste to do that service. That you would like to be enthusiastic, you would like to be happy doing, I mean, pray for happiness. Chant and be happy. Any other questions?
My other question is...
No, that's okay. I thought that was your other question.
The other question is, there was a verse where Krishna is also said, we just also said that Krishna is very, very dear to the Brahmanas.
Yes.
But there are many other verses where we say,
Well, Prabhupada explains Brahmana means Vaishnava. If you read in his purports, in Bhagavatam, where in Rishabdev's prayer instructions, he says the Brahmana is higher than Krishna. And Prabhupada will say Brahmana means Vaishnava. Because this, you know, if a Brahmana is not a devotee, he's not a Brahmana. Because the last part of that verse I quoted, Janmana Jaya, Te Shudra, you know, you're a Shudra, then you become Dvija, then Vipra. Brahma Janatiti Brahmana. If you know Brahman, then you're a Brahmana. Of course, even if you know Brahman, it's not enough. You have to know Param Brahman, and that's Krishna. There are many Brahmanas who separate this world. They say the world is false, and they separate Brahman from Krishna. Even though Brahman is coming from Krishna, they say, no, Brahman is the supreme. So therefore, it is not that. And actually, there's something given. Is it in, I think it's in this canto. Yes. When you go later to chapters 11 through 15 in canto 7, you'll find different classifications of Brahmana. And which kind of Brahmana you should worship to get a different result. Like there's Karmakandiya Brahmanas. You worship them if you want to get elevation. You want some material things, you worship the Karmakandiya. You engage them in your sacrifice. If you want knowledge, you worship the Jnana Kanda Brahmanas. But then the highest is the Vaishnava. And Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati established that fact amongst the Brahmanas when he was here. And Śrīla Prabhupāda established that fact amongst the caste Brahmanas when he was here in India. When we first came to India, Prabhupada was being criticized that why you're giving Brahman initiation to these lechas and sannyas initiation. When the devotees first went to Vrindavan, the brahmanas there, they said, they were a little favorable. They said, oh, you're doing puja so nicely. Next life you'll be born in our Brahmin family. And so the devotee went and told Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, go tell them, oh, you're doing puja so nicely. Next life you'll be born in ISKCON family. So that was the vision of Prabhupada, which appears to be the vision of Nityananda and Gauranga. And it was, if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat, you'll see Lord Chaitanya, he went to the house of a drunkard, Gaurini Tai, both of them went to the house of a drunkard, but they wouldn't go to the Mayavadi sannyasis, who are elevated brahmanas. They wouldn't eat with them. They ate in the house of a drunkard, sannyasi, who was, had a wife and everything, fallen sannyasi, drunkard. They preferred that to going to the Mayavadi sannyasis. They rejected them. So they're rejected. And Dvaita says that too, that these very proud caste brahmanas and sannyasis were rejected. Of course, he did give their mercy finally. But in Navadvipa, there were many such people. And they were criticizing, Haridas, born in a Muslim family. They were saying, and they were the ones who went complained to the Qazi about the Harinam. It was the Hindu caste brahmanas. He's ruining our religion. If you chant the name, if these lower class people chant Hare Krishna, the name will be polluted. That was their complaint. And now it's Chaturmasya, the Lord's sleeping, and they're making so much noise chanting. Chaturmasya is when Vishnu goes to sleep. So the complaints to the Muslims were brought by the Hindus, the Smartas. So then what Lord Chaitanya did, he made Haridas Thakur, he made a Muslim Namacharya, Acharya of the Holy Name. He made Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, he spoke through their mouths. He spoke through the mouth of a Shudra, Ramananda Roy, and he became the listener. He took lessons from a Shudra Grihastha, and he was a Brahmana Sannyasi, by caste. So he was showing people. And Ramananda Roy was the speaker, and Lord Chaitanya was asking questions, and he was the hearer. And he sent Pradyumna Mishra. Pradyumna Mishra, the exalted Brahmana, took lessons from Ramananda Roy too. So that was Lord Chaitanya's movement. That's Prabhupada's movement. He went to the West, he got all the Malechas, and brought them to India, and then because India wanted to follow the Malecha culture of America. So that was Prabhupada's preaching. You want to be like American? Okay, here's some American, you follow them. You'd be devotees. They've rejected their... I know, when they came, Star TV came and interviewed me in Vrindavan one time, and I said, he said, why did you leave your country? I said, there's something here in Vrindavan that's more valuable than all the skyscrapers and all the superhighways, something you won't find there. In Vrindavan, something here is more valuable. That's why I stay here for 20 years, Vrindavan. So, yes, Prabhupada gave us this most valuable thing, just like Sanatana Goswami gave to that beggar. First he got the touchstone, but it was in the garbage, so the beggar thought, how come? It's in the garbage, he must have something better. Said, okay, throw away the touchstone. No, throw away your gold. He said, okay, what's better? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. That's better. Because you get eternal life. With gold, you get stuck here. Your hand gets stuck like the fly in the trap. But with Hare Nam, you go to Goloka. It's coming from Goloka and it takes you to Goloka. Any other questions? Jai Oglaishtashira Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.